Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 241, part 2, the conclusion to Friends, part 2. Today is Easter Sunday, April 8th, 2012. Happy Easter.
You get a whole house full of furniture, then you go over and they got the latest in someone else's house. I hate this old house. I hate that old Davenport. Those drapes just make me sick. This whole house makes me sick. I'm not saying that for your benefit. I'm not saying for anybody's benefit, but it might help you. Might help us. Right? Right? How many in here got sick of the place they lived at? Once when I just tired of it. Like, I've done that. Lord, I hate this place. Ooh, I hate to even clean it anymore. Makes me sick. Well, come on down here and live in a lot of places. I mean, they're overrun. Apartment buildings and ghettos and all over are overrun with cockroaches. Huh? How'd you like sleeping in a plastic bag every night? Now answer me that one. Cotton balls in your ears. Graphic enough for you? We're ministering to the radio. Basically, that's what we're doing when we minister down here. Well, if it hits you, let it hit you. So what? But anyway, nations. Being these tapes go around to different countries. Now, we have to talk to nations once in a while, too, don't we? Nations, I should say, also, like the Israelites, have a tendency to worship power. And their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end to their chariots. And our land is full of rockets and bombs. And neither is there any end to our jet bombers. And you see in the paper, you ever seen these displays in the paper? And they say, Russia, and they have little four airplanes. They represent 1,000 airplanes, 1,000 missile-carrying bombers. And they have 14, and we only have 13 million. And they got 14 million. And rockets, and they have little rockets standing up in there, you know, little graphic, this things. They have this many rockets. And then it shows armed men with a rifle on, like the, like the Ready Reserve, and then Russia has so many men, we have so many men, and so on and so on and so on. Is there any end to it? No, every nation is armed, trusting in brute force. We love visible power. We love the Rondo movies. Is there Rami? Rondo? What is it? Rambo. Is it Rambo? That don't sound right. I think Rami sounds better. We love that kind of thing. Somebody that speaks in only a couple of syllables in each word. What's the girlfriend's name, or the wife now? What's her name? Adrian?
Adrian! Adrian!
You call that acting.
Adrian!
That's where our mentality has gone. Hey, when you preach like this, you better have a little bit of humor in it. Say amen, somebody. Amen. My point is, when we have all of this arsenal and we're surrounded by all this arsenal, all someone has to do is hit our arsenal. And we blow ourselves up. But we love that. We love knives and clubs and brass knuckles and protruding neck veins and white knuckles, challenging one another with, "I dare you." Monkeys do that. You ever seen monkeys, how they do that? They tease each other at first. They run up and they bare their teeth. And they kind of circle around and then they act like they're looking at the audience out there. And then all of a sudden, and then they bend down and they throw their dung at each other. That's what they do. Well, isn't that what we do? Let fly! Where's the friendship? How many are hearing this? How much would you be willing to surrender of that, which is really nothing? No, we trust in our own cleverness. The world is trusting in their own cleverness. I totally insane. He trusts in his own cleverness. Isn't that his name? I totally insane. Arafat, what's the other guy? The killer whale. What's his name? Gaddafi? Should make a game out of that. Let's pay Gaddafi. Sounds like a catchy little game you could play, and you could just, it's called the game of assassination. Let's all play Gaddafi, aren't we? Aren't we all playing that game? Oh, the games people play, night and day. We idolize muscle. Whew. What's this other guy now? There's another guy out there. He used to be a weight lifter, iron pumper. What? Schwartz and what? Schwartz hanger? Yeah, Schwartz and hanger. Huh? Don't we love that? And people will spend $7 or $8 to go see somebody's sweaty, dirty, greasy muscles. I mean, that's all right to have a nice build. I'm not jealous too much. But is it our idol? Is it our idol? Swartz and hangers and ram eyes? And Superman? They're not real. A real Superman came, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. The Lord says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." We can lift up everything. We can overdo. We can lift up the preacher and overdo on that. We can lift up the music ministry and over art or architecture or oratory more than the simple gospel. Oh, didn't the words come out? Weren't they? The enunciation was perfect. And the rendition was so cleverly brought about, such gaining and such coming together. Well, what did he say? I don't know. I couldn't understand the words. That's as bad as, "Adrian!" Same thing. Isn't it? Isn't it about as stupid? Now, I got to say this to the Church of Jesus Christ. How long will it be before we trust in our God enough to believe in Him? And unless we start to share it, unless we start to care and become friendly, Even what we have, the Bible says, will be taken away, even what we thought that we had. Oh, but I hear someone saying out there, we don't have idols like other countries, Buddhas and stuff. Well, there, let's see, you can see Buddhas, and people don't even know what they have. They have them in their houses all the time. Some great big old fat gent in there, isn't that Buddha? Fat gent with a little pot belly, and then they use them for flower pots out in their gardens. Put a little vase in there. We have E.T. We have Rami. Schwarzenegger. Rock groups, the Beatles, Elvis. Elvis is still, and the Beatles are still idols. Money. Self. Don't worry about yourself so much. No one else does. Property. Isn't that an idol, property? Huh? Haven't you even trained your dog to run right up to the boundary line and snap at people that dare to put the foot on off the grass? Years ago, in the service, now they wouldn't dare do that. Commissions would come in on them. But they'd say, dogs and soldiers, stay off the grass. Yeah, they used to have that. Dogs and sailors, or dogs and soldiers, stay off the grass. How many remember that? You remember that? You're the only one that remembers that. Were you in the Navy? Oh. You lived in Virginia. All over the place in Virginia. Dogs and Navy personnel, stay off the grass. Keep your dog under leash and your military man on leash. No, idols. We can make idols of ourselves, can't we? I think, what is more degrading than a man that worships himself? I am a self-made man. Sometimes grandpa can have a lot of power. He's got 7 or 8 kids, and he's got a lot of money, and he's got graying at the temples. You know, it looks very debonair. Gray pincite suit on, you know, 3-piece. And the alligator shoes and everything, Mr. Daddy Warbucks, and he comes in and everybody just bows down to Grandpa. He might die. You want to be in that will, you know. Is that right? Grandpa's coming. And Grandpa comes in and he opens the door up, and all the kids, they've trained these kids to run to Grandpa. Grandpa's got that little white bag with them lemon drops in it. Hi, Grandpa. And it's so phony, I don't believe it. Hello. Mavis? Mavis, Dad is sick. Oh, really? Start writing down their cut of the action there, see? That's the world. Say amen, somebody. It's the truth, isn't it? What good did all that gold do Grandpa? Nothing. He became an idol. But they wanted to trade him in on a different idol themselves. Build their own little idol. People do that in churches. They split all the time so they can build their own little thing. Isn't that true? Is it or isn't it? Now, you got to remember, the first of this message, I said we're all sinners saved by grace, no more, no less. It's true, isn't it? It's getting awful quiet on the radio. I don't hear a crackle. I don't hear any Frito-Lay snapping or no slurping of Pepsi now. No, a lot of times we worship our bellies, the Bible says. O belly, what do you desire? Name it. Carrot cake? Ice cream? What's your pleasure? Do you ever notice when you go to visit people, they always, well, where would you like to go to eat? Now, that's all right, but is it our God? Is our belly our God? It can be true, can it? You take somebody's belly God away from them, look out. It's like a dog when you pull away his dish. You ever seen people in cafes and they wait on other people ahead of them? People are all the same. I don't care if it's a millionaire or a pauper. Hey, I've been waiting here 15 minutes. They even do that to me downstairs in the mission. I just have fun. I say, well, Rudy Tootie Tootie. I try to keep it light just so as they don't start throwing rocks or shoot me or something. But basically, we're all the same. We want to eat. Take our food away and see how mean we can get. Huh? Would you give your scrap of bread to somebody that was hungry? If it came between us missing a week's eating and God says, here, I want to take care of all of Ethiopia and all you people have to do is stop eating for 1 week, do you think we'd make it? No, I think there'd be a whole lot of dead Ethiopians over there. That's what I think. Laying belly up, swollen belly up. Not filled with food either. Oh, friendship? Deny someone their belly God. And kill for that. Would you stop eating for a week for a friend? 1 whole week. I wouldn't want to be around some people if they didn't eat for a week. I know there's such a thing as cannibalism. And aren't we like cannibals when there's people starving all over and we won't give up 1 ounce of our time, 1 ounce of our money, 1 ounce of ourselves, and we're so worried about what people might say, I want to be in the in group. I'm on the outside. I'm looking in. My nose is up against the window. Don't do that. You look ugly like that. Don't do that. Pull back. We want to be in the in group, which is really the out group. Or do we reverence our achievements and our attainments? And I think this also is idolatry. A lot of times people need a symbol, a priest, let's say, to stand between him and God. And Jesus, it says in the Bible, is the only priest, the high priest, that intercedes for us forever. Put no other gods before me. And so how stupid it is to trust in man, God says. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. And so our text says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted for? In other words, where is he to be esteemed of? What is a man? For sure he is a very feeble creature. He must be weak. It says in the Bible, his breath is in his nose, his nostrils. And so like a chain, we measure its strength by its weakest length. And so our weak point is our breath. We stop breathing, we die. Bible says our breath is a vapor that we cannot see. And if we lose that vapor, we die. It's something we can't see. And so we brag about the strong men. Or that the strength of our constitution. But it all depends on a puff of air. It's a marvel, really, that we live so long. The Bible says we are but dust. Trees outlive us. I was thinking about the other day. Now, this tree is going to be here when I'm gone. Don't get mad at the tree. The grass you walk in will outlive you. You'll be buried under it. Bible says we are a mere shadow. I think we need to look at those things. The Word does not say His breath is in His powerful, deep, hidden lungs. No, His breath is hanging off the front of His face. And it has two open doors which cannot be shut. In other words, you cannot shut up life in your own nostrils. You are not self-contained. You cannot store up life. And so we go on and we worry about what we eat. We worry about slipping and falling. And yet we hear of the sluggard who fell out of bed and killed himself, reaching for a, hey, Mr. Donut Donut, huh? And some say, well, just let me take a cat nap. Just let me just lay down here for a minute. Take a cat nap, and all nine of their lives escape them in 5 minutes. You never know. Here today and gone tomorrow, and that's why we need to be friends. Maybe you'll trip over a shoe. Wouldn't that be a terrible way to go after all the great things we've done? Trip over a shoe and bump our head and die. Maybe you'll catch a cold. You're feeble. Never is life sure, for sure. For sure. Don't the kids say that nowadays? For sure. They call them the valley dogs? Valley dolls? Huh? For sure, for sure. Life is not for sure, for sure. That's for sure. And so, how can we place so much trust in a man when they can't be trusted? They could die any old time. No, he went and died on me. I hate him. They die all the time. They die sitting down. The guy who sits down. That's like Rev Peterson. He went in the most beautiful way. He was sitting down. They were going to call him up to speak. And he put his head down like this. Did you ever think of that? Your life is in your nose? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you facts. Don't idolize yourself. You only get a nose full at a time. Another blessing, another nose full. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another nose full. Huh? But people die on us. They're sitting up. He was just sitting there and he died. Fell out of the chair. Plump. Died on me. Belly up. Beep, plop. They die going up in elevators. Can't trust them. They won't die on us all the time. They die jogging. Look at the muscle tone on this man. Huh? Look at this fit body. What did he die of? Ran out of air. This is like a car runs out of gas. You're going to run out of air. Well, you say you know someone that's full of hot air? It's going to go, fellas. Some people, they go when they're sleeping. He was so peaceful, he just laid down and went to sleep and didn't wake up again. What do you think of that? Well, I think he ran out of air. A guy was swimming along. And I just turned my head for a minute. And instead of a, I heard a blub, blub, blub. What happened? He ran out of air. Boxers do that. They're in the ring, fit. Boy, they're fit. A left, a right, a left, a right. He's making a comeback. Oh, Rambai is making a comeback. Oh, that's wonderful. Bam, 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 huh? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what happened. He must have slipped and fell. Oh, no, he died. What do you mean he died? I bet $10 to win on that guy. Get up! How dare you run out of breath? It sounds silly to you? It's the truth, isn't it? Anytime, any place, very undependable. Trust not in man. Some of you have friendships, and they're so essential to your life. You just got to be with each other. Hi, where were you? I called. I rang for 15 minutes. Where were you? Where were you? Why don't you tell me when you're going to go? I was so worried. The phone rang 15 times. Where were you? Huh? Have you have a friend that they're so essential to your life, you got to be with them night and day and day and day, night and day under the side of you? Huh? And you got to be around them all the time? And you got to call 50 times a day. Hi, it's me. Don't forget to bring some cream home and some sugar. Poops again, huh? Write a list. It's true, isn't it? Hi, it's me again. Hello, me again. Will you please stop calling me again? Come on now. Is there somebody that you can't be with? You got to be with them all the time, huh? Sometimes people have friends like that. Girls have friends like that. They travel in clusters like groups. Let's go shopping. So they all go together. Are you hearing this? And they got to have that person around or they cannot survive. Where were you? I waited and I waited and I waited. And I waited some more. Why didn't you clean the house while you were waiting? Didn't you comb your hair? That's why I stayed away so long. Come on now, get realistic in this. Do you have to have somebody around you all of the time? Don't do that. They might die on you. Then what would you do? It says, don't cling to your mother and father. Don't cling. Are you hearing this? You're hanging on this man or you're hanging on this woman and they're going to die. And you're hanging on to something that's dying. Don't put all your love and don't put all your confidence on a creature that will soon be worm's meat. Is that clear enough? No, let's just take a look at this dead man that's propped up over here in the corner. Well, I had to bring this about some way, radio audience. Take the sheet off of him, Joe. Ooh. Now, what do you think of this idol now? You know, after 3 days, you'll change idols, for this one's going to stink. Yeah. And plus, man is a very fickle creature, isn't he? Aren't we fickle? I know we're fickle. Why is he fickle? Because his breath is in his nose. He is very changeable, isn't he? As his breath is changed by his health, so is he changed. The guy was talking, and he was breathing real hard, and he was talking to him. And I talked to him a year before that, and he was... like a walking iron lung.
Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Our
are some of you planning on dying? Huh? Well, plan on it, because it's going to happen to everybody. Sometimes we think we're going to be the exception that will live forever. But there are no exceptions. It says, God is no respecter of persons. When your time comes, you will go. Sitting, standing, riding on an elevator, swimming, tap dancing, plop. I'm trying to get you to turn your attention onto Jesus and not onto idols or things. That house is going to rot. I told a guy one time, he had all his wealth. He told me he was a self-made man. I said this before, I'll say it again. I said, why don't you chop off your head and grow a new one? If you're a self-made man. I says, you know, when they take you and they put you in that cooler there and they draw you out for inspection and all you have is nothing on but a sheet and a tag tied around your toe, you're going to look the same as the guy with a scrap of bread with your $1 million. And you both have the same result. That bread is going to mold and rot away, and so is that $1 million. You can't take it with you. But man is so fickle. He loves today, and he hates tomorrow. He's sad. He's happy. He's up. He's down. David said, all men are liars. And you know, in a time of need, this is very, very true. Crude, but true. If you trust in a man whose breath is in his nose, you shall know the curse of trusting in a man. Or trusting in things, or trusting in wealth, or trusting in banks, or trusting in anything other than God. Or before God, we have to have trust. I'm talking about trusting above God. Have no other gods before me. Who's going to stand by you when you're slandered? Who is going to help your soul when it's in despair? Who's going to help you when your spirit is wounded? No, there are certain lonely highways you got to travel all by yourself. The Bible says there's one that goes before you. Isn't there a song like that? You got to travel. What is it? You got to walk this lonesome highway. You got to walk it all by yourself. You got to walk this lonesome highway. You got to walk it by yourself. Nobody else will walk it for you. You got to walk it all by yourself. But see, anyway, getting back to this, we're so changeable. But remember, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Isn't that a beautiful word? I think if you will read, when you go home, the whole chapter, read Isaiah at least 2:17 through 22, you'll get a whole lot out of it. I'm going to close with this question. Well then, what should we be? And what should be our relation to man? Well, your relation to man should be like this. Cease ye from man. Don't count too heavily on man. Recognize the grace of God is what's keeping that man going. What's that imply? It implies this, that we've had too much to do with man already. See, we can't cease from that which we have nothing to do with in the beginning. We may be called to break up friendships. We may be called to go out of, to break up unions, cancel alliances, change our whole conduct. Cease, it says, from man. Means cease to idolize him in your love. Do not idolize, as saying, any living person, even your children. Don't idolize them. This is my boy, this is my daughter, this is it. Don't idolize them. Don't idolize your mate. Oh, I idolize you. Well, don't do that. I idolize you. You ever heard that one? No, you didn't. It's a long. Do you ever hear that one? Have you heard that one? No, that's an oldie. What happened to Ida? She died. She ran out of air. What happened to the idolizer? He died too. Cease then to idolize any man by giving him undue honor. Well, the Bible says, honor all men. Be kind, be courteous. Give where it is due. Give credit where credit is due, but then don't overdo. Don't overdo it. Oh, there are so many people, so many weak-willed people in the body of Christ right now. They can't even say they liked a sermon until their idol critic gives his opinion first. What'd you think of that? They become echoes of, let's call him Mr. Woolley, know-it-all, who goes through a hole in the fence and then they all follow after. They wait for their self-appointed prophet to nod. They're filled. The churches are filled with self-appointed prophets. Not the preacher, not the workers, but self-appointed prophets. And when they nod their head, accepted, rejected, and then the whole group, oh, I see. I'm saying cease from worshiping man and worship God only. Man can't handle being worshiped. Cease then from the fear of man. Oh, how many are kept from doing right because of some wealthy or some influential friend. Some attend certain churches because respectable people go there. I mean, they dress so nice and the parking lot is always so clean and they use such big words and they have all these great choir robes. They're so robey. Bible says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nose, his nostrils. Cease from being worried about man, what he might do to you. No, I'm saying do all you can for people. But if they won't have you, move on. If your message from the Lord is turned down, don't worry. Don't worry what they say. But they accused me of this or that, and they said it's not true. They just said a whole lot of untruths. Don't worry. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of, esteemed of? When they sling mud at you, let it dry first upon your body, and then scrape it away as to not get your hands all muddy too. Seek God, the Bible says. Cease from man. Before you can seek God, you got to cease something. You have to cease from man. Trust in Jesus. He is always the same. Rest in the Father. Rest in the Holy Spirit. Rest from some men that are like mad dogs. How many times do you have to be bitten anyway? Sometimes people have to be bitten over and over and over again. Well, the answer is because there is nothing to be accounted of, nothing to be esteemed for. And so every man, every woman, everybody that's listening to this message today, cease from seeking out man. Cease it. His breath is in his nostrils, and see how short his life really is. Learn how to seek God and search him out. Cease from trying to save yourselves and come to Jesus. What's that song, Sue? What a friend we have in Jesus. And we can only start to be friends when we're friends with that one that suffered. We can only have unity when we come together in that perfect friend, Jesus Christ. That's the only time. And I believe only when he comes will it happen that we'll have a perfect unity. When we are made, it says, when we are lifted and taken into the air and be made like him, then we'll know him because we'll be made like him. And we'll finally and forever be friends. But I think we can start right here and right now, you know, to make ourselves and allow ourselves to be slandered and hurt and misused and all that, and prove in the end to be a friend. It's the only way you're going to do it is through suffering. And so basic was this message today, and I God willing, I hope it just gets across to people. I hope it does. That, see, we've left the basic things like the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is just simply being friendly, simply proving to the world that you're a friend, that you don't befriend people, that you're a friend to people, that you feed them, that you clothe them, that you do those kind of things, that no matter what the cost, and God calls you to do that thing, you're going to do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And don't just cease from worrying about what people might do. Because they might do anything. They might even drop dead on you. How many heard this message today? Okay. And you can get the first and second part of this tape, because we're making tapes right now. And I think although it's basic, it really is a lot of truth in it. And I can say that because I've lived a lot of it. And I think when you live a lot of those things, you really can preach only what you live through. Really? And that's why God came and lived through and lived in the flesh. So he really knew what he was talking about. Well, he always knew what he was talking about. But we would accept him because he had been through. An experience is what we really got to go after. And oh my God, I praise him for every experience I've had down here. And I'm never ever going to say, what next? Never. Because there's always something coming next. Always something coming next. And it's always good. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was the conclusion to Friends Part 2. Have a beautiful Easter Sunday and a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday for Suffering and Sympathy. God bless you.